What happens when a company fires half of a town's workers? That's exactly what Tyson Foods is about to do.
All the money for the town is coming from the Tyson.
Everybody basically that I know works there.
I'm in Lexington, Nebraska, a small, diverse town of roughly 11,000 people. Tyson Foods is by far the largest employer in town, with about 3,200 people in its beef processing plant.
Over half of my customer base either works there or knows somebody that depends on Tyson.
It is everything in the town.
But in November 2025, Tyson announced that it's shutting down the plant due to low cattle supply. This has left thousands of people in Lexington who rely on the company in limbo, unsure of what comes next.
They feel like their life is over.
What happens if the school all of a sudden loses one-third of their population? What happens to the tax base?
You got 3,000 people looking for work. You can't put everybody to work in these little places that they got around here. What are they gonna do?
And this plant closure is happening in the middle of a national beef crisis.
Beef prices have soared to all-time highs.
A record high, up nearly 50% from 5 years ago.
The only price we have that's high is beef, and we'll get that down.
We spoke to the plant's workers and local business owners about the ripple effects of one of the biggest factory closures in decades.
Hearing that news was like hard, because the first thing you think is like, I'm gonna lose my house.
This plant was the one who like gives life to this town. If that plant is going to close, the town is going to be a ghost town.
Pues uno se siente pues mal porque literal nos acaban de quitar todo, o sea, y luego que te hayan dicho de un día para otro.
But the story doesn't end here. We also talked to trade lawyers and economists who say that there's a radical solution that could save this plant and the future of American beef production as we know it.
There is a sign-on bonus for employment, and then we do have some positions available right now.
So right now we're at a job fair that's just down the street from the Tyson plant, and there are about 90 companies from the state of Nebraska and around the region talking to Tyson workers about other job opportunities. For many, this will mean leaving Lexington entirely if they can't stay here in the community.
No hay empresas abiertas, no hay trabajos.
There's no jobs here. There's no opportunities here.
Does your wife also work at Tyson?
Yeah. For her, it's about $25 per hour. For me, it's about $31.
And when you talk to these companies here,
what are they offering?
Less than that.
Nos iban a ofrecer este trabajo en otras compañías de, bueno, mismo Tyson, pero en otros lugares. Y yo ayer fui a registrarme y me dijeron, no, pues es que no es seguro, porque como es muchísima gente, no vamos a tener trabajo para todos.
Tyson's plant in Lexington processes 5% of all beef in the U.S. Some workers blame the plant closure on Tyson's fear of competition with Sustainable Beef, a smaller beef processing plant partially owned by Walmart that opened in a neighboring city.
In order for this company to make money, they're going to close this one down because the one in North Platte opened. They don't want to be competing with them with the prices of the cattle. Because if they're paying less money for the cattle, then they're not going to make as much money over here.
Competition is basically non-existent in meatpacking, where four companies control almost 90% of the market.
We've allowed concentration to go so off the charts. One of the reasons why we're seeing these closures despite record high prices is we've allowed these ultra mega meatpacking plants, you know, we're talking like 7,000 beef cows a day, where if they can't sustain that volume, they don't work.
Those big four meat packers work together to fix prices, to fix wages, and really to control the market so that they don't have to face any real competition.
You might be asking, wouldn't closing a large domestic plant like this have a drastic effect on the beef supply chain?
We're going to lose this massive plant, and that's going to depress the price that ranchers receive and make beef more expensive. Now, they don't mind because long term, these packers, they're vertically integrated abroad. So that they don't mind shifting to an imported model rather than processing beef domestically, they'll just revert to imports.
Roughly 13% of the beef Americans eat is imported, and in many cases, it's cheaper to bring beef in from abroad than to raise and slaughter cattle in the U.S. That gives major meat packers like Tyson flexibility to rely more on imports when a large domestic plant goes offline. Tyson says they're shutting down the Lexington plant due to low cattle supply and higher operating costs. But local residents wonder if the company has ulterior motives.
Why do you think the company is doing this now?
It's not because they're doing bad, because this plant has always been in the green. Always. Even when I was a supervisor 30 years ago.
So do you think that they need to stay open?
They should, but are they going to? No, because it don't benefit them.
They probably don't want another meat packer in here. We've heard that the building isn't even for sale.
When Tyson comes in and says, we're not selling the plant, we're shutting it down, what that will automatically do is move the price of cattle down and keep the price of beef high or move it even higher. Tyson and the other big four meat packers use strategic shutdowns so that they can make higher profits. The first time they did that was in the late 2000s, but they did it again and on a bigger scale in the mid-2010s.
Hundreds of people are temporarily off the job after the shutdown of a meat processing plant.
I don't know what all these people are gonna do. Some of them have been there for years.
Now they're doing it for a third time.
The meatpacking industry hasn't always worked this way.
In the mid-20th century, there was a big campaign to enforce the antitrust laws, to impose rules on dominant players that made it hard for them to exclude smaller competitors, to exclude entrepreneurs. By the 1960s, we had an industry where the biggest four meat packers controlled only like 22% of beef production in this country. The result of that really competitive environment was a reindustrialization of rural America. A lot of those new meat packing companies opened plants in small towns, in rural communities, creating lots of new jobs that led to, by the 1970s, for the first time in a century, small towns actually growing.
Fast forward to today, and consolidation has created a different picture. According to USDA data, the price of beef is roughly 12 times more than it was 50 years ago. Meanwhile, the percentage of that money going to the farmer has decreased dramatically.
When we did have a lot of small companies competing against each other, the meat packers in that market couldn't just like shut down a plant to manipulate the demand for cattle at strategic points. They only had one, two, or three plants. And so they needed those plants to be running in order to bring money in and stay in operation.
In October, when President Trump proposed increasing beef imports from Argentina to bring down those beef prices, ranchers were outraged. Later, he suggested that something fishy was going on with meat packers, calling on a DOJ investigation, which just happened to be the same conclusion the Biden administration had come to a few years ago. More Perfect Union is covering the larger story of how consolidation has warped the relationship between beef prices and cattle prices in another video you can watch on our channel.
But with this plant closure, we wanted to ask, what kind of big picture thinking is it going to take to keep beef production in America? For that, we spoke to Charles Benoit from Coalition for a Prosperous America.
We have to start thinking of this as an essential public service, whether it's we regulate it like a utility, like we do for electricity, or whether we just have state and county governments get more into the business. And I emphasize more because they've already done that in the past. The city of Austin had a very large cattle processing facility in the 1940s. And even today, we've got small county-owned and operated ones, including in Florida, from New Mexico. These are really small. They do like 50 cows a day, but the principle is there. And so that's how we have to think of this industry now.
Nationalizing our beef industry might seem radical, but the Trump administration has already shown a willingness for state involvement in key industries that they've deemed important for national security. So should we view beef in the same way? And what do people in this deep red state think about the government stepping in?
These private industries, their responsibility is to their shareholders. So on their end, they're not doing anything wrong. They're doing what they need to do. So my message, I guess, to the government is that we need to enact policies to prevent such things from happening and not just go around and having press conferences and talking points and, you know, post on X. Those do nothing. We need actual concrete legislation passed to prevent such things and to help the working class, to help everybody that's not involved in the corporate level or the billion-dollar industries.
Hundreds have already left Lexington, and many more are expected to follow in the coming months, leaving those who remain facing an uncertain future.
It's been chaos. A lot of families are unsure what they're going to do.
It hurts all of us. We're losing good people, good workers, good friends.
Ready for the Husker game tomorrow night?
Yeah, tomorrow the volleyball game, right?
Already people here have to work multiple jobs to try to survive.
Right.
So as these jobs go away, I mean, how are people going to make it?
They're going to struggle. A lot of people are going to struggle.
We're going to keep following this story as it unfolds. If you're a Tyson worker or have insight into Tyson's business practices, send us tips at stories@perfectunion.us. And before you go, please support our work by liking this video and subscribing to our channel.